Well, I hope you enjoyed our reading from Ruth chapter 2. And thank you, Verity and Simon. There's a lovely phrase in that chapter, Ruth chapter 2, verse 12. Boaz is speaking. May the Lord reward you for your deeds, and may you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Did you notice that prayer of Boaz from Ruth chapter 2? And were we able to get inside and to imagine that very special scene as described to us in that chapter? The year is around 1100 BC, a long time ago, when we're in the fields below Bethlehem, in the town of the tribe of Judah, that would of course become famous in due course as the birthplace of David and later of Jesus. We are actually in the very same fields, that area, which 1100 years later would witness an angelic host lighting up the night sky with the news of a saviour born in Bethlehem. But all that glory has as yet to come in the future, in the distant future. But God is already at work, moving his purposes forwards towards those great days. And he's starting in most unpromising circumstances. A widow named Naomi, in face of severe famine in Bethlehem, had a decade earlier migrated across the Jordan River to the land of Moab. And there her two sons had married Moabite women, but then both the sons had died. And it's a sad story. And as Naomi prepares, when she's learned that things have improved in Bethlehem, to return back to her home alone, her Moabite daughter-in-law, Ruth, pledges to travel with her and to be committed to Naomi forever. Your God will be my God, she says. And the two of them arrive in Bethlehem, hungry, vulnerable, in need of social and financial support. And the only viable option is for Ruth to risk going out into the fields to pick up some of the grain that, according to God's gracious law in Israel, was left on the edge of the field for the poor to gather. Have you noticed how much grace there is in the laws of ancient Israel? If you owned a field, you were not allowed to reap 100% of the yield. Some of it was for the poor, and you had to leave it for those who were poorer in your society. And by chance, Ruth chooses to work in a field owned by an honourable man in the community who is also a relative of Naomi's deceased husband. And the rest, as they say, is history. Beautiful history, a wonderful story of Boaz's protection of Ruth and his eventually marrying her, a wonderful story of Ruth becoming the great-grandmother of King David, and a wonderful story of Naomi finding her bitterness and sorrow has been turned to joy. It is indeed a beautiful story, simply told, and one that is incredibly powerful simply because of its simplicity. Speaking personally for a moment, it was when I read this book of Ruth, as I was writing my guide to the Bible, that I found myself coming back to a whole new appreciation of the Bible's essential truth and reliability. After too many years reading scholarly books which were condescendingly dismissive of the Old Testament, I found myself reading the book of Ruth and imagining all the events and the emotions of the story, and I became utterly convinced that this was no made-up fairy tale, but just the straightforward and sincere recording of a true story told as it actually happened in the village of Bethlehem. So true to life, so unpretentious, so ordinary, so real, not fabricated, but a matter of historical record and fact. And that insight transformed my reading of the rest of the books of the Bible. They just made perfect sense when you just read them as accounts of things that really took place. So I personally love the book of Ruth. It gave me back the Bible, if you like, because of its simplicity, its ordinariness, it's so true to life. But in that simplicity, there is a profound reality, and it's this, that the living God was truly at work in that ordinary situation of human lives and frailties, bringing good out of evil, love and hope out of despair, promise out of failure. In fact, we're reading a story about the God of grace at work in ordinary lives. In line with Boaz's faith-filled prayer, God was indeed bringing a full reward to Ruth. She had indeed sought refuge under the wings of the God of Israel, And the Lord, the God of Israel, was indeed rewarding her for that commitment to him and his people. God was taking someone who'd been on the margins, a childless widow from the Gentile land of Moab, and bringing her into the very center of a new community. God was taking someone who'd been overthrown out onto the ash heap of life, if you like, and giving her an honored place in the family line of the Messiah. Read Matthew chapter 1, you'll find that Ruth is mentioned as an ancestor of David and therefore of Jesus. In other words, in this oh-so-ordinary, simple story, God was working out his big story of salvation, rescue, redemption. God was working together for good, not just for Naomi and Ruth, but for the whole world, and therefore also for you and for me. The God of grace at work. He was revealing himself as a God of grace, welcoming in the outsider at harvest time. Don't you love it? Harvest, welcoming in outsiders to come and celebrate and be part of our community. In a sense, that's what we were doing last week in the village hall, welcoming people to give thanks and just to be community together. Viewed in this way, Ruth 2 is a great harvest story to celebrate. And you can imagine in later years when the Israelites were sitting around after their harvest supper in the Bethlehem village hall, perhaps, asking one of the older generation to tell us again that good old story about our ancestor Ruth. And all the children would be listening to every word and probably trying to remember it and to be able to give the account the next year. It's a harvest story worth repeating, for it speaks to us of a God who can be working in the ups and downs of our lives, and a God of wonderful grace, giving good gifts for his children to enjoy, in response to which we can only say a humble and contrite, thank you, thank you, thank you. Harvest is indeed such a wonderful opportunity just to say those words, thank you, to look out on a field in the Itchen Valley, to stop and stare at a long autumnal sunset and to say thank you. They say that one of the saddest things in life is to see such a beautiful sunset and not have anyone to say thank you to for it. But those who believe in Christ do have someone to say thank you to. We know that the God and Father, Jesus Christ, is a wonderful God of grace, who not only created this wonderful world, but also in due season did not leave this world alone and unvisited, but instead came into our world, experiencing our ups and downs to the utmost, and went eventually to the cross to bring us forgiveness of sins and bring us back to himself. We have a good, good Father. We have a good, good Creator. We have someone to say thank you to. He is a God of grace and love, and he wants to bring us in from the margins to experience that grace and love for ourselves. And as we close, just let's note that perhaps the deepest point to ponder from our other Bible reading, which we're not looking in any, at all tonight, Jesus' parable of the laborers in the vineyard, but one point to bring out that story, at the end of the day, the vineyard owner wanted to be known as a person of unfair generosity. He wasn't so much looking for employees as for people he could spoil rotten and pour out the lavishes of his grace and kindness upon. Do you and I often think of God as rather parsimonious and stingy? No, says Jesus, you've got it all wrong. My Father, whom you can call your heavenly Father, if you only ask him to, is the most generous person in the world. As your Creator, he's given you life itself. And through me, Jesus, he can give you eternal life, something you never deserve, but comes to you as a free gift. He's the most generous person in the world. So this harvest, let's lift up our eyes from the floor. Let's look around us at the beauty of creation and give thanks. And let's be looking up to God above and sensing his boundless gifts of grace. Ruth clearly made a good choice when she decided to seek refuge under the wings of the God of Israel. And whenever people make that choice today, putting their refuge, seeking refuge under the wings of Jesus, if you like, they are always making the best choice in the world. this harvest. Let's make the Lord our choice, and let us give him all the thanks which he richly deserves. Let's keep a moment of quiet as we pray. Almighty God, we thank you of what we have seen of your grace and love in the story of Ruth, and of your grace as expressed in the parable of Jesus, that you are a generous, generous Father. We thank you that we see this in your gifts of creation, and we thank you that we see this in the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, given for us. Help us in this harvest season, indeed, to be able to say to you, thank you from our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.